You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're live at the New West Summit. Super excited about all the things that are going on here and the popping in Oakland. We've got a lot of craziness, a lot of booths, a lot of different technology, and super, super excited because I enjoy doing this summit every year. It's a lot different than some of the other conventions that we do, and we do travel a lot all over the country to check out what is it with all these different cannabis investor summits. But this one I love because it has a little bit of tech, has a little bit of media. My boy Jim Alpine, shout out to him who put out this festival, has an awesome premise on how he does things. Definitely is great with socializing and making sure that everybody's cool. And I'm super glad when I get the opportunity to interview people that I already know and friends with. Thank you so much. We got the first guest of the day, Frank Lane, CFN. How you doing, my brother?
Really good, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
So we met a few years ago now. It's now going almost 3.5, possibly. Yeah, 3.5 years or so now, right? When did you start CFN?
Yeah, time moves fast. In June of 2013, so just over 5 years ago.
Yeah, so a little bit, you know, with a year once you were really getting into it. What is CFN? Tell the folks.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. So CFN is both an agency and a financial media network, all digital, dedicated to the worldwide cannabis industry, specifically for helping companies, whether they're public, pre-public, or private, attract investors, capital, and media attention.
Okay, nice. And what are some of your favorite clients you have working with CFN? Let's give a shout out.
Yeah, thank you. Well, one is MedMen, and I bring them up because they had a big announcement today. They have acquired another big vertically integrated cannabis company in the U.S. called PharmaCann.
Okay.
And through a stock, all stock deal.
Okay.
And that means that, I think that's the biggest acquisition of a cannabis
and
asset
was the,
in the
what
U.S.
was the acquisition? How much went down?
I forget those details. The news
a lot
went
of money.
A lot of money.
All right, so shout out to MedMen. And MedMen doing their things.
Yeah.
They, if you were in California, head out to West Hollywood, where you're going to get to roll into MedMen if you're a tourist, and you could roll in and buy their weed. And they actually have MedMen's now in, I believe, Colorado. There's one in New York, California.
Yeah.
Where else? Am I missing some?
They're in three main states, California, Nevada, and New York. And their New York store is right on Fifth Avenue. Beautiful store. I've been in it.
Now,
it's
the
really
only
nice
thing is in New York, you know, it's a lot different than California, where you could just walk into these shops and just find boards of hashes and weeds and stuff you could smoke and everything like that. But in New York, sadly, I do not believe you can actually buy smokable weed. It's only in a pill form, right?
That's right, and it's only medical. They're not recreational
yet. Yeah, it's only medical, so you can't just go in as a tourist and go enjoy the lovely herb that you can if you come to the lovely state of California or Colorado or Washington or all these other places that are going rec. There's a measure, though, for is Jersey rec?
Jersey.
Are they now yet, or what is the deal? Do you know?
Yeah, they're still medical, and I know that they're working through a ballot initiative that should happen soon to bring it legal recreationally.
Okay, nice. And then what are some other projects CFN is working on? I noticed you guys brought in somebody very cool today with the technology because we are at a tech summit.
That's
so
right.
Let's talk about who you got premiering here with you guys.
Yeah, thanks. So we have a partner, Nextech, and they're also a company that's about to go public, and they have AR technology that allows you, without glasses, to visualize anything in a holographic format, a 3D volumetric format.
Okay, and without the glasses,
exactly.
In its own freestanding structure.
Exactly.
Have these guys done some things before, or have they worked on a prototype? Because I interviewed a guy when he was coming out for the gaming convention. He was telling me something similar, a hologram that you could see that was on a base, but it was with a skateboarding concept.
Yeah.
And you had a little finger skateboard, and you could actually use it as a joystick, but go through without wearing glasses, a virtual reality experience, seeing a full hologram type game.
Yeah.
Is this similar?
It is similar. There's other companies that are doing AR, and now Apple has even put out kits on their phones, so any company can make their own AR and adapt it to a phone.
What? Wait. Yeah. Let's break it down for the layman. What are you talking about?
Well, Apple wants to open up their phone platform to any AR developer to create apps on their store.
That create hologram, or I don't get it, or create a virtual reality experience. Now, how do you do that with, you mean it's like when they have those headsets that people are now sticking their phone into, like, this goggle, and then you're getting the, is that what you're talking about? They're utilizing that. So does that mean that Apple is going to create some kind of, like, headset that your iPhone essentially will pop into?
I think that's next.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy.
And think about it. For the person that's never been into a cannabis store, you know, and they may feel uncomfortable the first time.
Sure.
They can use this app, comfort from their home, and look at cannabis products.
Get out of here. So that's real, what you're talking about is applying this.
A floating bud. That they can visualize.
God.
3D.
A floating bud.
And
I
other products.
It.
Yeah.
Dude, that's wild. That is kind of cool. So a virtual shopping experience.
Exactly.
Now, if you see it with your hand, is it going to be some kind of, like, sound command if you wanted to buy it, let's say? Or do you have any idea? Or is this just too far ahead of, like, talking about?
Well, that's an interesting point with e-commerce. They want to integrate it into e-commerce so when a user has visualized the product, they can then order it based on their location and if it's deliverable. But those are things that they want to integrate. Yeah.
Wow.
Make the buying experience easy and fast.
And so you guys go to a lot of the events, you cover what's going on, you help cannabis companies from step one through, or is it mainly helping them with media, getting the company's name out? Do you actually start, does a company say, hey, I want to get in cannabis business, we want to go to CFN and figure out how to do that? Or are you dealing with companies that are startup and established companies that are coming to you for as a way for people to get reach? You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly. We start working with these companies typically when they're a little more mature. They've passed their Series A, which is their first big, or they're at their Series A, which is their first big round of funding.
Okay.
They're already making revenue, and they're really wanting to expand what they're doing by bringing on more capital.
What about companies that aren't raising money, that are just literally out there and just want you as a method of marketing and getting their name out? Do you accommodate that also?
Absolutely. Now, we're not a B2C platform yet, so we will help those companies reach investor audiences, business audiences, and also national media, so that they elevate their profile.
But you're targeting more on the financial,
exactly,
Wall Street, money raising,
going public, being public. Those are,
and then once they're public, you kind of help with their press releases and campaigns, essentially, or?
Yeah, so we'll take their message and we'll convey that using really powerful media.
Okay.
We'll actually go onto their site and film their facilities and production so investors can see that it's real.
Okay, that's great.
We'll interview the CEO in our studio.
Because a lot of times these guys want to put that together, but they don't really have somebody, right?
Exactly.
Now, they also have to trust you, right?
That's right.
I mean, they have to trust somebody coming in with a film crew, taping their gardens and this and stuff like that. I mean, even though there is a lot of security, I mean, there is some kind of hesitance on who they want to have in, so they have to have somebody they trust, obviously, right?
That's a great point. And, you know, some of our clients that we've filmed, there's some proprietary equipment that they have, and so we'll blur that out. And
sure.
They're always approving the content before we put it out. And that's really what I think our best asset is CFN is a trusted source within the industry.
Sure.
And we've been lucky enough to build that to where we're at today.
That's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm glad. Any shout outs? What's the website if people want to check out CFN?
Thank you. Because, you know, for anyone that's in the industry now as an investor or a business person or wants to get in, They should bookmark our media site. It's CannabisFN. That's Cannabis, F as in financial, N as in network.com.
And you guys have any other social media, Instagram,
yep,
Facebook, anything of that? Notice, let's give a shout out to that.
Thank you. Yeah, we're on LinkedIn, and it's the same handle, CannabisFN, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Same thing for all three. Oh, yeah, man. That's great.
And I'll be tweeting a picture of our booth and you and I later today.
As a matter of fact, we got to take a little quick.
We'll do
like,
it now.
Do a little quick selfie. Let's do this since we got it going on. And then do you have any shout-outs to anybody, friends, family, anybody of that nature?
Yeah, just want to shout-out to my wife, Nina, and the whole CFN Media Company. We're quite spread out in Los Angeles, our studio, headquartered in Seattle, office in Calgary, Canada. Our editor's based in Denver, and our client services is in Montana.
Awesome. So if they need to hit you up, hit you up. And if you're a company out there getting through their Series A and getting through the waves of bringing in some cash, then CFN will definitely help you spread the word throughout the cannabis community. Thank you, Frank, so much for coming on.
Thank you, Andrew.
And I definitely look forward to the next event we get to hang out with, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, my brother.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're back at the New West Center, doing seeing all these different people coming around, hanging out. We got all these different people that are checking out New West and everything we got from New West. And I'm real excited when we always have all these different people that come and check out the industry and are part of the industry and have booths in the industry. And we got a couple of cool gentlemen. We got LJ Payne from Blue Zen. We got Dea Barron from Vive. And we got Kirk from Hawkins Insurance. So we got a multitude of different things of guys in the cannabis industry. Let's talk with LJ for a second. What's up, my brother? How you doing today?
I'm doing good, my man. How are you?
Good. Exactly. And you born and raised in Cali, or where are you from?
I'm from Oakland, California. I grew up here. That's where our cannabis delivery service is based. We're more so tech-focused as a platform.
All right, nice. So you're a tech-focused group that does delivery in Oakland. How long have you guys been doing that?
We started our venture in 2016, summer.
2016. And how many are you have a lot of dispensaries on the delivery? Is it just one in particular? Or?
No, we are the platform. So,
we're the dispensary. Okay, so you're the dispensary. And how's that been going?
It's been going great. I am honestly surprised with the growth. I was happy to get in at the inception of the cannabis industry, and I'm looking forward to the scale.
Nice. And what are some of your favorite products or most popular products that people are picking up from you guys?
The Kiva bars are amazing.
So shout out to Kiva.
Shout out to Kiva.
Getting their chocolate thing on. They're in hundreds of stores all over California, and if you're a tourist that'll be visiting our wonderful state of Cali, definitely check out Kiva Bars. They got some good shit for sure. What are some other shout outs you want to give out to?
I'd also like to give a shout out to Moonrock. Moonrock is really popular.
Corrupt and the Moonrocks. Thank you
Everybody
loving that. Danny, shout out to Danny from Zodiac, putting out some good Moonrocks and good products. So, Vive, tell me about yourself.
Yeah, what we do is we enable cannabis retailers to accept payments, so which they can put it into their bank accounts.
Okay, so actual system now, is it like a cryptocurrency, or what is the platform, let's say, that is accepting the money?
Sure, you nailed it. It is a cryptocurrency, so somebody would move their U.S. dollars into a crypto coin, which is our coin, which is Vive Cash, and it's one-to-one to the U.S. dollar, and they would, it's almost like a point system, a preloaded card,
okay,
or like a gift card that they would buy from Target or Walmart, and they would just go into the store, and they would spend it.
So they can just load the card, and then that's how they would essentially pay. Now, is it an actual Visa card?
It could be Visa, it could be MasterCard, it could be whatever bank account.
And there is no conflicts, let's say, with Visa or those logoed groups and stuff, or now, like, what's the situation? Because I know there's a lot of security things when it comes to putting a logo on a debit card.
That's correct. So what's going on is they're buying a gift card, essentially, that they can spend at different stores. So we do have coffee shops using our products as well.
And when you say it's one-to-one, it's just meaning that it's a straight value. It doesn't go up in value. It's just used almost like a utility,
That's
right?
correct. That's correct.
That's cool. And we got Kirk with Hawkins Insurance. So you giving insurance out to, is it cultivators, dispensaries, or break down who we got in your mix?
Well, we're, first of all, it's good to be here. Thank you. And I like seeing all the energy and the new people here. It's very exciting. We're living the future today.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? All this entrepreneurial. What did you do before cannabis insurance? Let's get in that for a second, because I'm curious, were you doing regular insurance and then crossed over, or did you do something else?
Well, no, we've done commercial insurance for 19 years now, and did a crossover into cannabis maybe 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
We specialize in business insurance and a lot of building insurance. About 6 years ago, you had a mix where some landlord owners, property owners, might not have wanted to lease to the cannabis industry. And
then you had
the insurance industry not wanting to insure the cannabis industry. So there's been a real coming together for property owners, insurance, and the cannabis industry. So I think it's a win for everyone.
Now, are you dealing mainly in California? Or are you branching out to other states? Or what's your concentration?
We're California, Arizona, and Nevada. Right now, cannabis mainly in California. Trying to break more of that into Reno, or where they're going to be doing some of the growing facilities.
Sure.
That's kind of our market. We could take a large warehouse and have great markets.
So let's talk about what it is that you can insure.
Oh boy, well, we can insure the grow facility. I do agricultural insurance, so we can actually do the farming. We can insure the dispensaries. We can do the building and the commercial and the business personal property inside, or also mobile service.
Sure.
And then product liability is big right now, because as California is coming to standards of products, if something were to happen with someone, just as if someone drank bad milk or had a bad aspirin, if you had a bad edible and it turned to the worst situation, a fatal situation.
Sure.
The product maker is going to be responsive to that.
Yeah, and then you'd be able to insure that. So let me ask you about the cryptocurrency. Is it a platform that's already out?
Yes, it is. It's out in beta with a few stores here in San Francisco. We're a San Francisco company, so.
So when you're betaing in the store, are you having the dispensary telling their patients, hey, sign up on Veev, and if you want to buy this eighth, it's the equivalent to the same amount. If it's $40 for the eighth, it's $40 of Veev.
Cash, or token, or however
you want to call it, right? Is there a surcharge when one is converting or doing that? And also, is it an instant conversion? And is there an app used for it?
All very good questions, by the way.
All right, so tell me.
So what happens is when the user goes into the store would tell them, hey, download this app. And our app is connected to their POS system.
To
the POS system.
Okay, cool.
So we actually give a free POS system to the merchant itself, and they can put in all their inventory, and it's connected to Metric.
Okay.
And it does all the logistics and delivery. And once a user downloads the app, they can put in their Visa card, their MasterCard, move 100 US dollars into 100 Veev cash. And
now, is there a max per day?
That would depend on the user's credit card, but I think stored value cards in the U.S. they're regulated at around $2,000. Per day.
Sure.
And most transactions are in the $150 range at the moment.
Okay.
And at the moment we're not passing any costs, so it's costing us about 5% to for the transactions. Because simply because there isn't too many competitive banks offering the APIs to plug in.
Sure.
And we're eating that cost at the moment. So the user, $150, the user gets $150 Veev cash. When they spend it at the merchant, we charge the merchant a 1% transaction fee.
That's not bad. 1% is actually pretty good. I've definitely heard of it being a lot more with a lot of different people.
Right.
So LJ, let me ask you, you got any shout outs or anybody you want to give a shout out to?
I would like to give a shout out to Minorities for Marijuana, the organization that focuses on bringing marijuana equality to everyone.
And what's the website if they want to check that out?
Their website is m4mmunited.org.
So check that out. And if people wanted to, are you guys rec? Can you guys?
Yeah.
So tourists can go. That's awesome. So give a shout out to your place, man, for sure. Where if people come into the wonderful Northern California area and come into Oakland, what's the name of the shop and how they any address?
It's mobile retail, so there, you can't actually come visit us,
but you can
download our app.
Okay.
Blue Zen.
Blue Zen, download it, check it out. Any shout-outs to anybody else, friends, family, anybody?
Yeah, shout-out to my mom.
Hell yeah. What's up, Mom? How you doing out there? And then, Dave, you got any shout-outs or websites or anything you want to give out to anybody?
Yeah, if you want, you can check us out at veev.cash. And I'd like to give a shout out to my daughter, Ariana. I love you.
Absolutely. Got to give love out to the ladies, of course, and the wonderful daughters that we have out there. You know, and you, my man.
Hey, thank you. I'd like to, we're all here today, and I'd like to give a shout out to Stephen D'Angelo. I just finished his book, and his 30-year fight for what we can come here today and be part of. I want to give him a high five.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
We interviewed Steve at the CWCBE just a little while ago, so it was really cool chat with him. And I've been on a few Prop 64 panels and things before everything went to adult use. So, yeah, he's definitely a man that has made his way through the different atmospheres and doing everything that he does for sure. Thank you guys so much for coming.
You.
I hope you guys enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Awesome. And definitely rock on and throw Purple Haze Radio on the on your phones for sure.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Lifestyle
and man, things are popping. Everybody's coming around doing everything they're doing, and it's always great when you start running into pioneers and people that you've run into at events and are really just doing it out there in the industry. And we have Adrian from Candescent. How you doing, my brother?
I'm fantastic. How are you today?
So you and I are SoCal, so we ended up rolling up here to Oakland to the New West Summit. You feel a different feel between SoCal growing or industry and NorCal, or you think it's kind of similar now? Or
I think there's huge differences. I think they both produce quality products, so I just want to put that out there. I just sort of say there's always been a sort of like the rap game a long time ago had a East Coast West Coast thing. There's always been a NorCal SoCal thing going on and a little bit of a schism, which I think is, you know, unnecessary personally. But you know, I think it'll heal and get better as the industry develops.
Absolutely. Were you born and raised Cali or no?
No, I was born and raised in New York City. Concrete kid in Manhattan.
Me too. Born in the East, rest in the West, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. I'm about to get my locals card. I moved out in 2001. So 20 years in Santa Barbara, they give you your locals card.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And shout out to Santa Barbara. Really good place to visit if you guys come out. What did you do before you got into this? Because I want to talk about all this craziness you've done, but like, what did you do before cannabis? What was up?
Okay, so, you know, I've been blessed. I've had a really great career. I started my first company when I was 20. Divested most of it in 1996. I went public in 98, the year I graduated from Harvard Business School.
Nice.
And
shout out to all those Harvard graduates out there.
Yeah, don't hold
guys.
That against us.
No, nothing at all.
But
then,
you know, then I've been basically, you know, building early stage companies, you know, and selling them. My last company I sold to Motorola in 2014. I built another one that I sold in 2010. So give me a growth industry, and that's what I do.
What's the, let's say, the year range, let's say, before you sell out? You usually sit on it or work on it for 4 or 5 years or this, or how long?
You know, historically, it's been 4 or 5 years, but this cannabis is for life for me.
Cannabis.
This is the last one. This is it.
And was it a love of the plant, or was it the money? Was it both? I mean, what was the driving force of why you like it so much?
Well, absolutely nothing to do with money.
Okay.
I have that already.
Okay. So I got you.
So, you know,
I understand.
To me, I mean, look, it's an intersection of a number of different things. So first, when you truly understand the cannabis plant as a molecule.
Sure.
And the science behind it, whether as a medical product or an adult use, that is a compelling ethical proposition.
Absolutely.
And when you looked at the industry where it has been historically, for it to move forward and transform in as many people's lives as I think the plant is capable of doing.
Sure.
it requires a certain mainstreaming that, to me, my background, you know, I'm not qualified to run, you know, Google's European division.
Sure.
But give me an early stage, give me an early stage sector that has major consumer problems, that's trying to figure a lot of strategic things out, have to go raise a bunch of money to go run it down. It was sort of like a perfect intersection. And then there's part of it was the universe was talking to me. You know,
okay.
Are you an avid
smoker? Can we talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you know, we started in flower. I was on the varsity cannabis team all throughout high school and actually played Division I in college. So,
nice.
So,
nice. Okay.
You know,
I got you.
You know, but actually it's super interesting. When I was 22, after, you know, being very heavy smoker, I had a horrible experience. I left Category for a year, then I had I tried it again, had a really bad experience, and I left Category for 15 years.
Wow.
And then started to smoke a little bit, but it was always a little touch and go.
Sure.
So now actually my preferred form factor is I like fast acting ingestibles. They would just work better they work better for me.
Sure.
You know, some people I describe
like the test strips you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, things that are mucosally available as opposed to you know, smoking I describe as there's two types of people. You know, those who like to jump in a pool and those who ease themselves in a pool.
Okay.
I'm more of an ease into the pool. Smoking is a very quick elevation change.
Okay.
And, you know, if you know how cannabis affects the brain, your body produces something called anandamide, but THC is a proxy for the anandamide molecule.
Okay.
But the thing that kills anandamide and THC is something called FAAH in your body.
Wow.
But anyway, I'm low FAAH, so I'm what's described in simple layman's terms, a paradoxical reactor.
Wow.
Whereas cannabis makes most people calm down, it actually wires me. It's like you put three rails of coke up my nose.
Wow. Now, so when you decide to do this project, you're like, I'm going to create a cannabis brand. You decided not to go small by any means. You got a big, you ended up getting a pretty decent sized facility. And where is it in California, you guys?
We have three facilities.
Let's talk about when you started the first one and then like kind of go to expand.
Got it.
So the first one started
Desert Hot Springs. It was the first city to legalize cultivation, and we were the first municipally permitted cultivator in all of Cali.
Now, do you feel, now looking back, it's different, but at that time, were you scared? Because sometimes the first one through the gate becomes the martyr.
No, I will say this. When I started researching the industry, I would say for the first 6 months, every text I sent was on Wickr. I used the Tor browser to surf the internet, and and every email I sent was encrypted. So, and the first time I walked into a grow, I'll be straight up, I nearly sharted myself. I was sure the sirens and everything. But, you know, I've seen so many professionals and so many people now go through that transition that they're all scared at first. But, you know, once you realize how many great, amazing, credible people are in the industry, as well as how much true investment capital is, you know, the idea of Jeff Sessions getting his game on is laughable.
I got you. Well, I also have like a very interesting feeling about that myself. You know what I'm saying?
What's yours?
So, well, you know, I have a lot of different takes in the industry at this point because like there's so many emerging things, but I do like where you're coming from. You know what I mean? I like what you set up and, you know, I think even though you're the first, you're precautious, you come from a background which is, you know, very business oriented, and there's a lot of guys in this game who are trying to do these things that are still old school farmers and this, and not people with a Harvard education, obviously, you know, and things like that.
Can I speak to that for a second?
Sure.
You know, kind of that, like we talked about NorCal, SoCal.
Sure.
You know, there's also this sort of imaginary schism between new cannabis, old cannabis. And the guys who get it wrong are the business guys, the formal hedge fund guys who come into the industry and they have no respect for the history, the people who built this industry.
Sure.
Those companies, I am sure, are going to fail.
Okay.
On the flip side, you know, there's a lot of the more people who have built this industry and fought the fight for the previous 20 years, you know, that came at this from a really activist standpoint, they shouldn't feel threatened by the right business people. This is a harmonious marriage of different skill sets coming together. And the great, you know, the hardest thing I knew I had to do at Candescent was build a culture? How do I get, you know, guys who grew up on weed time to function with Goldman Sachs guys and make sure those Goldman Sachs guys aren't a bunch of douchebags?
It's a hard thing. So did you have a certain amount of capital to start the project and you're like, man, I'm passionate, I want to fucking do this? Did you apply first on your own, see if you got in, and then started raising dough, or like, what was the situation?
So what I did is, you know, I kind of would describe it as I seeded the company myself to produce a trade. I bought some land. I rented, got a long-term lease. I pushed about $750,000 into, I'd say, just producing something that I could then raise capital against.
And then we
did a Series A where we raised about $5.5 million for our first facility.
For the first facility. So then you and how big was it? How
many? 11,000 square feet.
Okay, so 11,000 square feet you start out. And how many lights would you say is in a facility like that?
Flowering lights, 192.
Okay, nice, nice. And then veg?
Mom and veg, we have two bedrooms. We probably have about, we have LECs and T5s, call it a just under 200, sorry, just under 300 between flower, mom, and veg.
Now, is it a lot to, obviously, heat, various things really make a difference on how well the plants grow. Was it a lot to deal with trying to figure out between the LED and the regular lights and how hot they produce when you have 100 and something lights?
192 lights unflowering.
That's a fucking lot.
Yeah, well, each of our flowering rooms, you know, like our flowering rooms, they're only 900 square feet in that facility.
Wow.
And they have 32 lights, but you still have 38,000 amps of wattage.
Oh, yeah, watts of watts.
Yeah. I describe indoor growing as you spend a lot of money to run the lights, and then you spend a lot of money to cool the room with the heat coming off the lights.
Okay, so exhausting, too, is it different times of the year? You kind of, like, can adjust then based on that, like when it's colder, then, you know, you have a different situation where save economically?
Well, not so much in indoor.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't really affect you indoor. But
the building itself?
We also have, you know, our second facility is a light-depth greenhouse.
Okay.
So we're using, you know, we use a lot of sun there. Our first facility, the indoor, we're actually building a solar canopy to reduce that electrical cost.
Oh,
so,
nice.
You know,
solar.
When you're indoor, you're doing a perpetual grow.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And same thing in a light deck.
Yeah, always doing that. And so you came up, you started doing the bud, you started having this first facility. Now you had to think about packaging, right? You had to think about all these different things. And you had a very unique take on how you wanted the consumer, in a sense, not to be overwhelmed, right?
Yeah.
And let's talk about that. Let's talk about what you created.
So, you know, Candescent was born, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you think about the cannabis industry in general, you know, some people say, oh, I run a dispensary, I have a cultivation, or I'm an extractor. To me, those aren't business ideas.
Okay.
A business idea is you have a consumer problem and you solve it.
Sure.
So, you know, we saw six problems, and the six problems we wanted to solve were first, a lack of excellence. You know, you had an industry emerging from prohibition, undercapitalized, that didn't have world-class management, and so you had a lot of products, but nothing exceptional.
Sure.
The second was confusion and intimidation. You know, you had 6,000 strain names with colorful names like Durban Poison, Green Crack, Alaskan Thunderfuck,
exactly.
Cat Piss. And then you have a bunch of bud tenders talking about...
Yeah, and let's talk about that. If you're someone new to the cannabis industry and you're a tourist and you're coming into Cali, right, and you walk into the dispensary and, like you said, you hear cat piss and blue this and that and everything, and you're fucking overwhelmed.
I
mean, first you've only maybe seen a bud or this, and then you walk into this place that's overwhelming. You wanted to create something that wasn't so overwhelming.
It's accessible. The idea was, and the other part that's overwhelming is, you know, you need to have a PhD in weed science to make a purchase. It's CBN, CBD, THC, THCA, flavonoids, cannabinoids, trichomes. It's ridiculous. So,
sure. So
you know, it reminded me a lot of what I described as tech in the early 80s when you used to have to know MS-DOS to use a computer.
Sure.
It was like you had to be a coder to turn a computer on.
Absolutely.
You know, and then a guy named Steve Jobs came along and said, no, you know what, technology needs to work for humans. And so he simplified it.
Yeah.
He built a graphic user interface.
Exactly.
And so what we did at Candescent is build a graphic user interface with our five effects: calm, cruise, create, connect, and charge.
Wow.
And then type each plant based on its terpene and cannabinoid profile. So if I sell you Calm 101, you know it's A, going to give you the same effect every time. It's not, it's different from anyone else's plant under whatever name, but also we're helping you, we're helping curate the experience for you so you can get the intended outcome or effect.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And then you expanded and you said open two more facilities?
Yeah, we now got 75,000 square feet and we'll probably be at 350,000 by the end of next year.
Wow. Shout out to you and everything you do. And then do you have a website or anything if people want to check it out?
Sure. It's www.candescent.com. That's CANNDESCENT. Or look at us on social at @candescent.
Absolutely, man. That's so great. And thank you so much for what you're doing. And your brand is kicking out there. And I got to give you props for being on the Profit.
All right,
on
thanks,
CNBC.
Brother.
That was fucking cool as fuck. I got to watch you and what you did and be premiered in that. And actually, it's great that helped break some of the mindsets in Wall Street and people. I feel like you were able to break a little bit of a great barrier, and I appreciate everything you do. You have a shout out to any friends, family, anybody you want to say hello to?
Yeah, always love to my wife, who's the passion of my life, and my three kids.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, shout out to the family. You got to always have a tight family, especially in this type of industry. It's great that you probably have a good partner that is accepting, because to a lot of people, it's a scary thing, and they give these weird stigmas to people being in the industry, you know, and I'm glad that more and more people are starting to be accepting to that.
Well, you know, I'd have to say, just to that, my own personal experience is I was worried about getting the hairy eyeball.
Sure.
You know, but I've been in the industry for 4 years, and I'd say for every one person who's given me the hairy eyeball, I've gotten 1,000 people who thought it was so cool, wanted to talk about it at the party. So to me, it's been all good and all love.
That's good, man. I'm glad, and I wish you all the great success. And I know that you're going to have a more featured premiere with Michael Miller on his Canna Business Show, and everybody's going to be looking forward to that.
Well, we love Michael. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks, brother. Enjoy the show and do the things that you do, my brother.
All right, be well.
All right, cool.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.